Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
At GoDaddy.com, we believe you can do amazing things on the internet. Start with a domain name, then build yourself a website or have GoDaddy build one for you. From hosting and online shopping carts to SSL certificates, GoDaddy has the tools you need at prices to fit any budget. Get your .com for $5.49 when you use the code RAMBLE1 at checkout. GoDaddy.com. Domains, websites, and everything in between.
Come on in, it's the Football Ramble, it's that time again and it's lovely to have you with us. My name's Marcus and I've got Jim on to my left.
Ha! Lo!
Pete is opposite me.
I'm selling these fine leather jackets.
Luke is to my right.
Alright.
I am indeed. Now, in light of the Andy Carroll, Carlos Tevez swap deal proposal, I'd like to ask ourselves... who would you swap if you could? Two players from any clubs in the world. Jimbo.
Well, Nicholas Bentner has picked up a long-term injury at Sunderland, where he's not exactly set the world or the North East on fire. So he'll be back at Arsenal
soon.
He's
trying to set some cars on fire, though.
Yeah, with his feet.
Is that related to the injury?
Is it a long-term form injury?
Potentially, yes. So basically I think with, you know, the Andy Carroll, Carlos Tevez thing being the barometer, I would try and swap him for Lionel Messi, because that is equally feasible.
That would be amazing.
And then it would be a great fax to write out.
And then we would find out if Messi could and would indeed do it on a cold, wet, windy...
There are Sunderland fans on the train right now just nodding, going, yeah. Great shout.
Lionel Messi could sort of run Nicholas Bentner, like Krang in the Ninja Turtles. Like, you know, he's got a big...
We just put him in his belly.
Put him in his belly.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah.
Maybe that's his solution.
Yeah. Oh, if he just sort of... If Bentner gave him a piggyback and Messi could just tell him what to do.
Yeah. I'll just graft some sort of Messi stem cells into Nicholas Bentner.
I would have scored that if Messi was running my brain.
Yeah. and Bentner, if he, you know, went to the new camp, or the camp new, he's already kind of fluffed a chance or two.
Yes.
So, but Bentner knows, as we all know, that the new camp's the only true stage for his ability. So it worked both ways.
It's a deal that needs to happen. Pete.
Can I go for a threer? Can I do a three-way exchange of that? I would exchange Wagner Love for... Peter Lovenkrantz, and I would exchange Peter Lovenkrantz for Peter and Love, and it would be a three-way love triangle.
It's a love affair.
Yeah. Love affair, yeah.
It would be a love triangle, it's good.
That's great.
Is that all right?
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah. Strong contender.
Don't give it away in the middle of it.
You're all strong contenders in my eyes. Look.
I would like to swap every player with the same name around.
Well, first name or second name?
Like Tommy Smith.
So you'd get a run out for...
We can include me if you want, but you could do Luke Moore from AFC Wimbledon and Luke Moore from Swans.
Yep.
You could do Tommy Smith and Ipswich, Tommy Smith and QPR. Mm-hmm. You could do the Ronaldos.
Yeah.
One would be fat up from Real Madrid, again.
An all too familiar scene.
The only potential this wouldn't work for would be when Scott Fitzgerald played for Brentford, also with another player called Scott Fitzgerald at the same time. That did happen, look it up.
Okay. And then there's a John Mensah as well for Ghana.
There you go. But possibly Paul Robinson, stick him in goal. Yeah, stick Paul Robinson out of left back.
Oh, right.
I thought you meant like the neighbour's baddie then.
Get him involved.
Yeah, that'd be class. Good one. I'd like to see Juan Roman Riquelme go to Sheffield Wednesday. Just bearing in mind they're under Megson.
Yeah.
And any of the Sheffield United players going the other way. Because how pissed off would Riquelme be seeing the ball constantly flying over his head, looking at Megson going, I'm the main centre of...
How annoyed would Gary Megson be with Riquelme in training?
Yeah, yeah, no, it would be brilliant.
Yeah, the pair of them would get an amusing grouch on. Yeah, it'd be fun to watch.
They might even be like... But they could be like opposites attract. They could be like best mates.
Shut up.
All right.
Shut up.
Pete's got the point.
Hey. Is that his, 2 weeks in a row?
With his love triangle. Is it really?
It might
be. Brace.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Jim, you had a hat trick before that. Luke, you're strong.
I haven't won for ages, no.
That makes it with the fact that I was supposed to go to 5-a-side last night and I missed it by an hour and a half.
Did you get the next game? Or is that not how it works?
That's not how it works, Marcus.
Okay, you missed a chance by an hour and a half.
Did you just kick the bus stop on the way home?
Well, let's move on to the deal involving Carroll and Tevez, which didn't happen. It was rejected, funnily enough, by Manchester City. Very odd, Jimbo.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I don't know what Liverpool's thinking, but it's just going to undermine Carroll completely, isn't it? It's just so strange they'd want to get rid of him so quickly.
Do you think he was
saying that? I mean, we were saying not even that long ago, how long do they wait with him? They clearly, it seems, they've made a decision. Like, it's not worked out.
If it was actually true, and I'm not entirely convinced that that's actually the case, but what I mean, you're just given, you know, the bosses at Man City chance to just be, you know, dicks about it and release it to the public.
Well, Andy Carroll's still one step ahead of Tevez as far as he actually Very true. I mean, they could be the sort of subject of a new Ainsley Harriott sort of daytime show. Can't play, won't play.
Yeah, like it.
But I know what Liverpool are going for. Liverpool are thinking that Tevez wants to be closer to his family.
Marginally.
Well, as we all know, it's 6,935 miles from Manchester to Buenos Aires, but it's only 6,928 miles from Liverpool to Buenos Aires, so it works.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, it can edge his way there.
Yeah.
Think of Tevez City. Think of him.
Yeah, exactly.
I do feel sorry for Andy Carroll. 22. Yeah. He's got Stuart Downing supplying the ammunition for him to put away. He's up there all by himself.
Sorry for him because he's from Newcastle, Pete?
No, I don't feel sorry. The site is that, you know, I kicked him out the door for 35 million, excellent business. I was annoyed at the time because it didn't look like we were going to, you know, replace him with anyone, and we didn't for a season and a half.
I suggest that if he wants to. I mean, my advice to someone who's never played the game at any level would be give up the source, start working a bit harder.
But look at the chances he's had, for crying out loud. He's not getting the crosses in. You've got to play a completely different system with Andy Carroll. And it doesn't matter what he does off the field. He had a pretty good game about
Man
United.
He was right. Not
how much would he have a good time at Stoke City?
That's why I wouldn't want him back at Newcastle, because we'd have to go back to the Joey Barton lump the ball up to the big man sort of system. And that's something that's how you need. He's one of the last strikers. We don't score headers anymore in this country. Just one last thing.
Downing has been particularly underwhelming for Liverpool, because I think he had something like the highest kind of chance creation in the Premier League last season, or something really strange like that. I think it was really high up there.
Do you reckon he's just struggling under the weight of disrespect to Villa, but being like a really probably big
maybe club. It is that, yeah, because he's not
expectation.
Sort of, he's certainly not just making those chances, is he?
Well, Carroll's flick on for the count winner was like a proper through ball. Brilliant header.
Yeah, but I kind of, going back to what Pete said, I do feel slightly sorry for Carroll. I mean, I take your points, Luke. He has been a bit of a silly sausage off the field, but you know, he is a young guy. He didn't ask to be 35 million, so immediately
he didn't ask to be sold.
No, that's right. Immediately there's one almighty spotlight on him.
Yeah.
And every time he miscontrols it, everyone's shouting, "What a waste of money!" and he puts in an all right display against, you know, one of the best teams in the league, and you know, arguably has a hand in both goals, certainly the second one, as you say. And then suddenly they're wanting to offload him for a guy who hasn't even turned up to training for a couple of months or whatever it is.
Imagine son, isn't it?
But surely the whole idea of paying that much money for him was to, you know, that he's an investment for the future. Yeah. They're going to allow him time to grow. So, you know,
it seems strange that
they try and get rid of him now. I just do wonder if there's any truth in that story.
The only counterpoint to that thinking is that they signed him for that money because what they effectively did, as we said at the time, was they swapped Torres for Suarez and Carroll, and the money was almost inconsequential because they didn't really there wasn't more than one load of £50 million going around. They just passed it on, and they overpaid for how it's turned out. Well, it looks like they have anyway, but it wasn't really their money in the first place. They just swapped Torres for two other players. That's basically what they've done, isn't it?
Well, there was a little talk before we move on to the FA Cup itself that Newcastle actually, because of Demba Ba's clause in his contract, might they swap him for Carroll.
I can't see that happening. Nah. I just think they've got their man now in Cissé.
Yeah. That would be a strange move, wouldn't it?
They've basically just went. They've sat on their hands for a season. They wanted him like a season ago. They took a punt on Demba Ba, and then now it's come back round. They'll make a bit of money on Demba Ba, and then you know,
and off they go again. Well, let's go. Well, let's go. Liverpool 2, Manchester United 1. Route 1 football beating possession football. Luke.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was a full-blooded affair.
Indeed it was.
I tell you what, it was that game and the Sunderland-Middlesbrough game, which are real, proper, old-fashioned cup ties.
They were, weren't they? Yeah.
But the Carroll flick on was absolutely amazing. I mean, it's such a hard skill. He put it right on his feet.
Evra really let him go, didn't he?
Yeah, he'll do that. He'll do that, Evra. He's done that. Mm. I mean, he was
maybe something else was on his mind.
Yeah. I liked it when they booed that black guy. That was brilliant, that bit.
Yeah.
Really makes me want to cheer for football, doesn't it? Yeah. Brilliant. Oh, I love football, mate.
I really like how Anton Ferdinand...
Because there are any knobheads listening, he's being sarcastic.
I really like the way Anton Ferdinand and Patrice Evra were seen as the victims this weekend. They're treated as the victims this weekend. Excellent.
Dear, oh dear. United, midfield three of Scholes, Carrick and Giggs. There's not going to be much pace in there, but they did keep the ball quite nicely, though.
Mm. And Carragher in midfield for Liverpool.
Well, I think...
Old school.
But yeah, well, Carragher playing just in front of the defence. He's never going to break forward, and that United three play quite deep, so they had a lot of room and a lot of possession. Well, couldn't turn it into goals, though, could they?
Goodness knows that Carragher likes a sideways pass or a lump.
His pace isn't what it was, but obviously he's a very, very solid sort of defensive player. So it's a smart move from Dougley's putting in there.
He's just canny, isn't he, Carragher? Yeah. He knows he's played in those big occasions before. A lot of the Liverpool have had quite a big sort of high turnover of sort of personnel, and Carragher knows what it's like to play in a Liverpool United game, especially in a cup game as well. So it was a shrewd move, I thought, yeah.
United were the better team, though, do you know what I'm saying?
Scholes had like a pass record of like something like 98% out of 70 passes first half.
Yeah, first half it was 73 complete out of 75 passes made. And I think Gerrard was the closest Liverpool player to him, 28 or something.
Yeah, golly, he ran the show then, yeah.
But they didn't
give him a new contract. three-year.
Indeed. Elsewhere in Liverpool, of course, they march on. Both Manchester sides out. Liverpool doing quite well, LA. Beat the two Manchester, or knocked them out rather.
It's wide open that cup draw now. I mean, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool. Both Manchester clubs out. It's good. Yeah.
Well, Arsenal are still in, of course.
Liverpool looking. At potential cup double there. You would think.
Yeah,
feel that like the appetite's back a little bit for that cup competition, simply because Man City are so dominant in the league. You sort of think, well, this might be our only chance of silverware. Let's have a crack.
And of course, one of the other big teams are out. Newcastle.
Yeah, I'd kill for a cup run.
I was going to say, it must be frustrating because you would kill.
Well, that is a guarantee. I would kill. But it must take that to the bank.
It must be frustrating because Newcastle missed a lot of chances, and you look at the sides that are out of the competition.
Yeah, you know, I just think if Danny Simpson had knocked that player over and got a red on the halfway line, we would have been all right. But I don't know. He was on a second yellow, so why he didn't.
They would have fancied it, Newcastle, and I mean that's a poor result for them. Poor result.
Yeah, it is.
It's an unfortunate goal.
It's not. Yeah, it's not a killing. And we didn't really take our chances. I thought Shaw played all right, and I think he has been playing all right all season. Really, he's really bulked out, and he's sort of leading the line when the Demba isn't on the pitch. We played that weird sort of high line again that we played against Fulham, and I think Pardew came out before the match and sort of said they play in a similar style, and again we were kind of left wanting a little bit at the back without Colaccini and that. It was a little bit disappointing
I think Brighton going to Liverpool in the next round could be an upset. Liverpool often with the smaller teams at Anfield they don't click in, do you know what I mean, and the potential upset there.
Well, that'd be great for the game. I mean, talking about the sort of appetite for the cup coming back, a large part of that has been the big games they've had in the first couple of rounds. You've had the Manchester derby in the third round, and you've had Liverpool Manchester United in the fourth round.
QPR Chelsea's a derby, of course, it was overshadowed, and it was a bit of a dire affair.
Villa Arsenal as well, like two Premier League sides, a lot of all Premier League ties in there. Actually.
Well, Villa Arsenal was a game.
Yeah.
At half-time, booing, the Arsenal fans were again, and then at the end of the game, they won 3-2 in the next round.
A booay.
Oh, well, they wanted him getting back.
I'll take your point, but I thought in the second half, you could really hear the Arsenal fans getting behind the team.
Yeah, I think so.
For the first time in a while, actually.
Mm. Henri told them to.
Yeah, maybe he did.
I liked Alex McLeish talking about the Van Persie elbow, sort of going, my nose is like it is, and all bulbous because I was elbowed so many times in my career, and they need to cut that stuff out. So it doesn't explain all the burst blood vessels on your cheeks, though. Alex, that's wine, cunt.
Well, another Alex.
Your face is wine country.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, tipped to, by Wenger to go to the Euros.
Yeah, there's talk of it. He looks an exciting player.
He really
he?
Does. If he gets used, yeah, it'd be brilliant.
But so, well, don't not pick him then, Wenger. Are you going to say that?
Yeah.
He needs to play games.
It's basically him saving him going out on loan, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he'll probably, you know, we said this before, he'll threaten Walcott's place when Jovinho gets back from the Cup of Nations. And because Walcott's just, he's been really off the boil this season.
He's got the screamer against Villa.
Oh, yeah, it was a Messi-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, no, sorry, Messi.
Yeah.
Crazy, just bounced in off his stomach.
Yeah, that'll do.
He scored a couple of alright goals this season. West Bromwich Albion scored a fairly decent sort of
He's done a few things here and there, but he's not been as consistent as he was last season. And
Craig Burley was sticking the boot in. Oh, the Arsenal fans will be sick of this. They're just sick of it now.
Craig Burley's sick of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Craig Burley's sick of everything.
Did you,
just
did
a very
you,
unhappy man.
Yeah, he is.
Did you see I don't want to take you back to the Brighton Newcastle match, but the ESPN that they've got to get rid of that pitch side desk that they've got. Water just, you know, it was chucking it down and they were just getting covered in water and the desk was, and they had their mugs out there and they were getting full of water.
It is so strange, isn't it? It really is. Yeah.
At some point they're going to go, oh, that's why I do telly in studios normally.
Electricity.
Elsewhere in the cup, Bolton 2, Swansea 1. Do you see Bolton have ruined a young man's honeymoon? US US international Tim Ream has been signed.
That's Ream, bruv.
Don't start that.
He's been signed.
You've been
on ITV2.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim Ream.
He's been signed from the New York Red Bulls. He was only married for 24 hours when Owen Coyle phoned him and said,
get a divorce.
He said, forget the honeymoon, come to Bolton.
Yeah.
Which she'll understand, you know, you're in the greatest city in the world.
Well, it's a popular
and then
honeymoon
you're moving
destination,
to the home
I'd imagine.
Of weaving, you know.
Bolton's like a honeymoon place, in a way. Come here.
In a way. Well, he's got his move to a Premier League club, which.
He'll be happy with that one.
For how long, though?
Christ. Elsewhere, before we leave the cup, we've got to mention Crawley Town and Stevenage Borough making it to the round of five.
Matt Tubbs scored and they sold him, didn't they?
Got to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Mm. Bournemouth has stepped in, done a Crawley to Crawley. I said, right, we're having that player.
I can't stand Crawley Town's manager.
No,
every time I see him on the touchline, I just want to see him fall over.
Well, convicted crook Steve Evans.
Smug shit.
Germany got they
Harry
got drawn
Seacombe
against
looking motherfucker.
They got drawn against United, and he was like, "Yeah, me and Fergie are going to get on so well. You know, we're very similar. This sort of stuff." Yeah. Give it the big one.
Let's move away from silly managers to League One, where Preston's new manager Graham Wesley has been texting again.
Yeah,
this time he wasn't dropping any players. He was just merely telling them to prepare for a terrorist attack.
What?
Glug, glug, text.
Yeah. I don't know about this. I have no idea about this one.
I couldn't believe my luck when I saw this. Wesley texts some of the players saying this: in view of the must-win game tomorrow, beware of low-flying aircrafts, as we are in a very high hotel, which will be a target for Al-Qaeda leaders, not the minions. No. If we come under attack, we must stick together and keep evolving as a team and bring pain on them. Make sure you have right footwear on in case of such events.
Is something in his brain snapped?
Is that Siri playing up? Yeah. Can you write confusing text to players?
Is he on methamphetamine?
Because of the scabs on his face, he's trying to peel off the crack spiders.
Graham, you're right. Yeah, fine. Can you lend me a fiver?
I've been reading this Daily Mail. God, the world's falling apart.
That's worrying now.
Yeah,
someone have a word with him.
The thing about that is
check his head.
The Wesley thing he did with the text messages before was rubbish and worrying, but it was
football based.
This is a complete non sequitur. This has come from nowhere.
Yeah. They're not exactly staying in central...
He's after his own corner.
Is that what he is?
He's after his own corner.
I stayed in a high-backed hotel, I suppose you'd call it, with the Swindon Town team on Friday.
Did you?
Friday night.
Spit roast!
Did not see...
Let's be honest, though, Al-Qaeda are never going to go after Swindon Town.
No, but I did write Ramble... I wrote Football Ramble on the back of... of their team,
DeCanio's head. Superb. Right then, well, let us leave England and go north to Scotland, where the Scottish League Cup semi-final happened. Celtic, unsurprisingly, beat Falkirk 3-1 and faced Kilmarnock in the final. How would we see that one going, Killy, for the cup?
It was a lovely free kick from Stokes. That was a good free kick. I endorsed that free kick. It was over the wall. It was high, but then it still came down.
Do you think Kilmarnock will beat Celtic in the final?
Oh, I don't even care anymore. Kilmarnock, how many people are watching that match?
I care. Let me answer this.
Yeah, let him.
They're at eighth in the league, Kilmarnock, aren't they?
Something like that.
The best I can hope for is top six, where it splits into a top six and a bottom six.
That's right, yeah.
I still think Celtic will win.
Oh, it's a safe bet, Jimbo. Jimbo, you know nothing about this. Celtic v Kilmarnock.
Celtic are going to win, Marcus.
The lower half of the SPL is rubbish because Dunfermline is so terrible that they're going to get relegated.
They are.
So everyone else knows they ain't got to worry about anything.
Yeah. Right then, let's skip
what
over
do you
to.
Think?
Both teams are there.
No.
Yeah, no. I think Kilmarnock are going to. I think they're probably lose. Now, let's go to La Liga, where Barcelona have dropped more points.
Oh, they're dropping them
they're
all over the shop.
They're seven behind Real Madrid. They drew 0-0 with lowly placed Villarreal.
It's over. The dream's over. The finish. The ruin. Sell Messi.
Well, Messi became the first footballer to have the front cover of Time magazine all to himself. Not the American version, no, just the European, Asian and South Pacific ones.
The US version of Time magazine is notably hilarious, because like, when the Arab Spring happened in the spring, every other cover was like kind of just all about these revolutions happening all around the world. The American one was like, how to improve your sex life or something like that. It was really
in light of the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
So yeah, Barcelona dropping points, seven behind Real Madrid.
Told you it's over. Madrid are going to win it. Barcelona have only conceded two goals at home in the league this season in 10 games. That's good.
That is very
good. That's worth a season ticket, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Second best though currently.
But 0-0 against Villarreal is not good, especially if Real Madrid continue to steamroll teams all over.
Real Madrid won. But their manager Jose Mourinho is rumoured to be wanting to come back to England in the summer. I could see that happening.
I think it's rubbish. I think it's Mourinho trying to get some leverage, putting that story out there to scare the top brass at Madrid into just stopping meddling.
You reckon?
I'm not sure, Jimbo.
I just think Jose Mourinho needs two teams. He needs one team to beat Barcelona in the derbies and another team to take on the Champions League and the league, because you know, he's steamrolling in that division and he still can't get a break from the fans.
But wouldn't this be classic Mourinho if come the end of the season he wins the league, maybe even the Champions League, and then he just pisses off?
You think he's got a chance of winning the Champions League? You think they'll do it?
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they won the league and the Champions League and he went, there you go, have some of that.
I can't see him walking like down the tunnel away from the stadium and like Ronaldo coming back in tears trying to hug him and stuff.
He did at Inter. He did at Porto.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if he got the hat trick.
He doesn't stick around very long, you got to remember that.
Bella Gutman. It's the Bella Gutman rule. But would it be outrageous to say, because I mean, I think the job that he would probably want is Manchester United if Ferguson quits, but I don't reckon Ferguson will quit in the summer.
I think that the powers that be around those sort of clubs have thought, probably, you know, at that point, rightly, that Ferguson will do. I know he said he wants to do two or three more years. That leaves it perfectly for Mourinho to leave Real Madrid after two or three years and go to United.
Yeah.
But if Mourinho does, in fact, want to leave in the summer, Ferguson's not going to be ready to step down.
What about Spurs?
He likes Spurs. He's been on record saying he likes Spurs.
Yeah, and I mean, Redknapp could
be in prison.
Well, he could be.
Or in the England job.
Or in the England job.
It's a metaphorical prison.
Wherever he goes, he needs money. And apparently there's this clause that says that he can only go to Manchester United if he leaves, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Or whatever. Well, Twitter said. But I mean, wherever he goes, he'll need money. And I don't think the Manchester United chairmen's are going to back him to any great extent. It would have to be Spurs for me personally.
Yeah, well, I think Tottenham, you know, they do seem to have a lot of money. They don't seem to be shy when it comes to sort of making decent sized transfers, but I don't know if their wage bill's the biggest, which is obviously going to be an issue.
I think the United thing is United need to find someone after Ferguson who's going to continue the success they've had. And what other candidates are there? Look at it from that side. What other candidates are there? They could attract Mourinho. I reckon Mourinho could they'd get money to spend. It's easy to sort of think that United haven't got as much money as City and basically teams that are financially doping the sport. But they have got money. I mean, they've spent big money for Phil Jones, really. They spent money on players before that. You know, they've not exactly been sort of shy and coming forward to that extent.
We're actually young as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think it could happen. Spurs is another one though, but Spurs will happily sign players, especially if they've got Mourinho in. If you're going to get a manager of the sort of stature of Mourinho, you're going to have to back him.
And they look as though they could be in the Champions League.
They will be.
And I mean, there's talks of a new stadium perhaps. If they're an expanding club, getting Mourinho in.
They're a global brand.
The timing could work very well for them.
Elsewhere in Spain, after Barcelona drew, guess who also drew? Valencia.
Oh, they are cursed.
But what about this one? Juan Roman Riquelme, former Villarreal player, of course, who helped them to the dizzying heights of the semi-finals of the Champions League and all, said that...
Didn't he miss the penalty? That
he did. Well, yeah. Yen saved it.
Okay, very nice.
He said he would love to go back to Villarreal to help the club in their current plight. He said, well, I would go tomorrow. I would ask Boca for permission and then I would board a plane and go there.
And then I would watch the safety demonstration and then I would order a gin and tonic and then I would
stop
put my seatbelt on.
Literal,
and then.
I would ask for permission, wait for it to be given, and he's off. Would we like to see that? It'll never happen, but would we like to see it?
Of course.
Of course we would. Yeah.
Get on you the know the plane answer to the ice submarines.
Of course we would. And before we leave Spain, we've got to talk about Mirandés playing their football in the third tier of Spanish football. They've reached the semi-finals of the Copa del Rey, incredibly.
Whoa.
And they've beaten Villarreal, Racing Santander and Espanyol on the way. They face Athletic Bilbao in the final. And their star man, Pablo Infante, who scored more goals than Lionel Messi in the tournament, I think he's got 7, is a bank manager and he hasn't missed a day's work since the cup began.
Shouldn't he be sorting out the tax? His bank's tax bill.
Yeah. Well, he's got time to do both, Pete.
Yeah. It's a multitasker.
Absolutely remarkable story.
So
that.
So they're in the final?
Semi-final. Against Bilbao.
Yeah.
Third tier.
That's incredible.
Yeah. The bank manager could take them to the final.
Could cash some checks.
Yeah. I was looking for something like that. Great. Now then, Bundesliga time. Bayern, Schalke, Dortmund and Mönchengladbach all won, so the top four are as still as tight as nearly can be, with only 1 point separating the top three to the fourth positioned team. But Bayern Munich annoyed their fans recently. Have you seen this?
Oh, you don't want to do
awful.
That.
No, you do not want to do that.
It was brilliant, this was. They one of the best home goals ever.
Because there was stuff going around Twitter that Bayern have got a big marquee signing to unveil.
Ludicrous.
And even I was kind of like, ooh, who could this be? You know, and then kind of nothing happened, and I thought, well, that's a bit strange. But the Bayern fans were invited to log on to the club's Facebook page, and the supposed new signing would be unveiled, and it would all be shown on there, but they were left a bit disappointed when the general manager Christian Nerlinger revealed an envelope with the user's own Facebook profile pictures on it, and then the fans saw that their own name appeared on the back of a Bayern shirt on the screen, and a statement on Bayern's Facebook page read, "Dear fans, you probably already noticed that we did not sign a new player. This app is for our fans to show the importance of you at our club. Every single Bayern fan is the spectacular new signing, our 12th man."
Rubbish.
Kicking the bollocks.
Underwhelming.
Can you imagine like Zlatan on Facebook looking at that going, yep, that's a marquee signing. Like, he's going, we have signed Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Yep, fair dues.
Yeah.
You
know. Imagine like
I'm huge.
Imagine if like a Mönchengladbach player
logged
in. I was like, oh.
Oh, what?
Yeah. My agent's not said anything.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's a bit of a result. I'm now top of the league.
Yeah. It's ridiculous behaviour.
It's a terrible own goal.
This is why cocaine and advertising executives should not be.
To be fair, we've been in meetings like this.
This is why Bayern Munich should never have hired Gary Cook.
Welcome return to the show for Gary Cook there. But there's some other good news. Well, there is some good news coming out of Germany. The former Germany captain, Lothar Matthäus, is set to become a TV star in his own reality television show.
This is brilliant as well. Germany is good value this week.
Oh, yeah. He's a bit of a lot of fun poked at Matthäus.
He's had about four wives.
He
has about four wives.
He has had about four. I missed a crucial word in that.
They're
sentence.
Failed marriages. They're not like.
Yeah, he hasn't.
He's completed. I've completed this wife.
If you have another marriage, it pretty much guarantees the one before it was failed.
Yeah. Not where I come from.
So you are from the north of England. It might be slightly different.
Oh, that's naughty.
That's a dick.
Don't be like that. Now, he's currently going out with a Polish underwear model who's 23 years his junior.
47 he was and she was 21. Oh, that's a ballsy move.
It's good work if you can get it.
Can you imagine the ex-wife going, typical.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Well, the show's kind of going to be showing what he's really like. He's not this silly character that they think he is. And he said, I want the show to show people how I really am. Most people are only familiar with some of the headlines. I think there will be a lot of positive surprises for me.
All he needs to do is take
how can you predict a surprise?
Just for yourself.
All he needs to do is take a big article out in a quality newspaper and say, I'm one of the greatest footballers of all time. Yeah. Show me some respect.
Yeah. No, it is. Shove it up your hole. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. It is strange to think of him being thought of like that, isn't it? Because he's one of the all-time greats. An incredible.
He really is.
And to think of him like sort of lampooned like that, it's just sad.
I imagine his trophy cabinet looks a bit sad though, because every time he, you know, he's got to split up all his wealth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. With his matches, I'll have half that trophy cabinet.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It might be a runners-up medal for the Champions League. Come on.
God, my wife's won the World Cup.
Elsewhere in those. For Bayern Munich. Elsewhere in Germany, did you see Marco Reus for Munchen Gladbach? He's quality. He's going to sign for Dortmund in the summer.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
He scored a great goal. I think they played big Stuttgart about 3-4. 3-0.
3-0 it was, right? Yeah. Away from home.
He's absolute class. He's brilliant. The highlights website I saw the goals on, they were calling him Marco Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah. Good. We like that.
It works.
It does indeed on so many levels, but mainly one. Now, let's go to the African Cup of Nations. Bit of international football for you here. Gabon and Equatorial Guinea through to the to the quarterfinals.
They are smashing it.
And what ways to do it? Did you see them? Two fantastic goals for each side, especially the free kick for Gabon in the 95th minute, something like that.
Brilliant. Do you remember the
scenes? Scenes, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you remember the greatest ever comeback in the Cup of Nations
for all?
Yeah,
Mali Angola was it?
Yeah, 4-0 with like 12 minutes left. Unbelievable stuff.
But that was that time, and now it's this time.
Yeah,
but that was good. Nice to see Daniel Kuzan, ex Hull City and Rangers.
He's an all-time top scorer, I think.
I'd have thought so.
Some of those pitches, though, I know they've got to play like two matches a day on them. But
there was a waterlogged one, wasn't there?
They're estate. Some of them, I'm just like.
Is that Libya and Zambia, I think it was, when there was a good few puddles.
What about Senegal, though?
Senegal have gone home. Pete's happy.
Got a strikers back. Brilliant.
Got your Dembers.
Rock bottom of their group.
It really is surprising.
Lost every game. They were by far the highest ranked team in that group. They won their qualifying group as well. Easy. I don't think they lost a game in qualifying. The teams they had in their group, Libya was 63rd in the world, Zambia was 71st in the world, Guinea 151st in the world.
Equatorial Guinea.
Yeah, sorry, Equatorial Guinea, yeah.
They've had done to them what they did to France.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Yeah. I think they still take that, though, wouldn't they?
Yeah. No one's trying to sort of...
But it was nice to see Libya get a point.
Oh, cool. Yeah. But all I'm saying is bring back Albert Diouf. And Diaw, Salif Diaw, bring him back.
Bring them all back. Yeah.
And the wardrobe.
There was a great... And Sudan are into the quarterfinals, going down the groups.
Zinedine Sudan.
Yeah. Which was quite incredible, really, because if you think about it, when they drew 2-2 with Angola, Bashir scored both goals, I think it was, for Sudan. He ended Sudan's 36-year goal drought at the tournament. Okay, they haven't qualified, I think.
That's England-esque.
But absolutely incredible for those people in Sudan. So well done to them. And good to see Ghana, some of their big names, Jan scoring and AU. They're not quite clicked in to third, fourth, or even fifth gear, but they're a lovely celebration for the AU goal.
Maybe they're building their momentum at the right time.
One should hope so. But it really is there for Ghana and the Ivory Coast.
What was the celebration?
Well, they kind of did a little dance, and then they would put their finger over their mouth as if to say shh.
Oh, nice.
And then for a couple of seconds, then back into the dance, and then shh.
Okay,
you've got to have the Ivory Coast to win, surely. And it'd be nice to see them, because, you know, they should really have won the last one.
They did. But the thing is, though, I think a lot of people think that they've been the best teams for a while and they've racked up a few trophies. They haven't won that tournament for so long. This is the thing. It's like, guys, it's there for the taking.
They need to do it this time.
Exactly.
Or never. Especially, well, I guess they've got next year as well.
It's funny it's coming around quick again, but Ghana have probably got a younger team, haven't they? Mm. And the Ivory Coast... Get it done, is what I'm telling you.
Get
the elephants, get it done. Yeah. Right then. Well, while we've been talking there, Luke's gone off to Diego Corner. Luke, can you hear me?
Here I am, yeah.
Cool, what's been going on?
Well, you know that recently Diego Corner's sort of, these days, it's sort of moulded itself into sort of Diego and Pele Corner. It's almost like a footballing version of Men Behaving Badly. But Diego Maradona is Martin Clunes and Pele is Neil Morrissey.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pele...
Who's Leslie Ash?
I haven't got to that bit yet. I have to work it out. Pele's piped up saying, what happened was people were talking about Messi being the greatest player of all time, blah, 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 as they do when they've got nothing else to talk about. And Pele was... Pele
nothing
said...
ramble about.
When Messi scored 1,283 goals like me, when he's won 3 World Cups, we'll talk about it. Right?
I really want Messi to do that and just sort of go around Pele's, sort of put a chair, you know, backwards, sit on it and go, right then, let's have a chat about this.
I'm only. Oi, I'm not. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Messi's far too humble.
He also said, "Football changes. Records are there to be broken, but it will be hard to break mine. People always ask me, when's the new Pelé going to be born? Never. My father and mother have closed the factory."
A desperate man tried to cement it.
Also, not really understanding biology, because if they had another parent, I had another kid, it wouldn't just be him again.
No.
And there's no factory involved.
No.
It's a hospital.
Yes,
carry on.
This is maybe due to old age affecting his thought processes, said Diego. with a modicum of respect. Certainly no more than that.
Yeah. A globule of respect.
He went on to say, disrespectfully, "You can't blame the guy. He hasn't been doing anything for 20 years. I haven't even seen him in a supermarket." Why would you? Imagine that!
It's like the House of Commons. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
You don't even live in the same continent.
I love it. I cannot get enough of it.
I don't know what he does. Usually, when you see him these days, it's only at award ceremonies next to the president of FIFA and looking like a doll that's been moved by remote control. His comments come as no surprise.
Superb. He's let them both barrels there, Pete. You've got to say.
That's going to rumble on. He also, Diego was under pressure recently because in the cup competition that Al Wasl were in, the Emirates Cup, they lost 3-0 to Dubai SC. And Diego fielded a weakened team for that tie.
Is this the same Cup Arsenal host?
Might be, yes.
Seems very odd.
Do you not remember it?
Anyway, but Diego fielded a weakened side, and then he came out sort of guns blazing and said, "Well, the management did not make enough reinforcements to the squad. I was promised 6 new players, but only 2 came. Like we say in Argentina, we would like to bring out all the meat from the fridge to serve it, but we were not able to."
He's more of a Pickle-Onion man.
Yeah, as if they say that in Argentina.
It's a bit wordy, isn't it?
The dog its face back, Diego.
And the final bit from Diego Corner this week is United Arab Emirates players of United Arab Emirates nationality will be dancing on the streets because Diego's being linked with a job. And if you take into account that he used over 100 players when he was Argentinian manager, it'd be good for him to
get the citizens
job.
Thinking I could get a call up here.
Yeah. Anyone. That's it.
That corner is rammed.
Great stuff.
It is, yeah.
Brilliant.
Rammed with Diego fan.
So as Luke makes his way back from Diego Corner, we're going to be talking about India, the Indian League, where it's all going off.
Yeah, it's that funny little tournament they sort of set up. A lot of heritage players, let's say, have gone into the pot.
Hernan Crespo's the most expensive one, isn't he?
Yeah, he went for about just over $500,000. Cannavaro and Pires went for just under that. Fernando Couto became the most expensive coach at £143,000.
How long's it gone for?
Portuguese.
I think it's only about 7 weeks. Peter Reid's involved as well. He got snapped up.
I quite like how it says Peter Reid and his crew kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like he brings his mates along.
I was bored one morning and last week and I tweeted Peter Reid and actually got a reply I was very pleased with.
Did it say, "Peter Reid, you have got a tie for a seat"?
No, because on his picture it looks like he's eating a Cornetto. I went, "Do you like Cornettos, Peter Reid? And also, do you think we'll ever colonise Mars?" And he got back to us saying, "I love ice cream and Mars."
He thought you at the chocolate bar Mars, didn't
I think he did.
No, I don't think he did.
Fair enough.
He's colonised air Mars. How can you colonise anyway? But nobody.
I'd like to see an Ask Peter Reid feature.
Yeah.
Maybe we should tweet. Actually, send us in your questions for Peter Reid, and we'll get Pete to tweet them to him.
How's the food over there, Peter Reid? Nobody wanted Marco Echeverry, unfortunately.
Oh, what? That's disgraceful.
And I'm almost certain John Barnes didn't get picked up either.
Did he not?
Or Colin Todd.
Oh, no.
Native Darling.
Echeverry's a legend.
There's quite a few Central legend. And South American players who got picked up, didn't they?
Presumably Echeverry's going to be a coach, right?
Yes.
I was going to say.
He's in the coach, firmly in the coach.
And Barnes, he's the size of a house. Yeah,
yeah. A big house at that. So they're your Indian transfers.
It's like the fat guy who got picked last. He didn't get picked at all.
That's the Indian transfers. We can't talk about the transfer window in this country being England, of course, at the time of recording, but we will be talking about that next week. Now it's time for Going for Glold.
Oh, it's tense!
Going for Glold! Glold.
It is.
Wow.
That was like an impromptu jingle.
It was, yeah. Goodness me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Edge on, there's only 7 clues.
Let's have one I can remember this week, Pete. Yeah.
Edge on, there's only 7 clues. Yeah.
Is that a clue?
First clue. I am 38 years old. At my first club, I scored 74 in 98 games.
Stop.
Blimey.
Robbie Fowler.
No.
I love how you're just guessing while you're sorting your notes out at the same time, doing a bit of admin.
I had the Indian League because Fowler was involved in the Indian League.
In the near, the first letter of that club was P. I spent 3 years in the Premier League.
Stop. Paul Walsh.
No, he's older than
38.
I thought Portsmouth is a scoring record.
Stop. Yeah. Kevin Phillips?
No.
Paul Walsh didn't start at Portsmouth.
No,
I was brought there by Brian Little.
Stop. Is it Guy Whittingham?
No. I love Guy Whittingham.
He's not 38 either. No,
remember that he does that to you?
Yeah.
I was Euro 2000's joint top scorer.
Didn't know that then.
There we go.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Stop. No.
This is poor.
Any more for
anymore,
no? Before I go to the next clue?
No, go for it.
Look at Marcus's shifty eyes.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
That's really poor.
My core bestest scorer was Patrick Kluivert in that competition. I've only got one clue left and you ain't going to get it from this one. Last year, my granddad shot and killed my dad.
It's not funny.
Didn't see that one coming.
It's not funny.
It's an important fact, though. It was in the news.
It's come from nowhere, though.
Yeah.
Top scorer in Euro 2000 and play that front with Patrick Kluivert. So he's obviously...
Granddad shot dad.
He's obviously German.
No. Hang on, what was the clue, sorry, about Euro 2000?
It was Euro 2000's joint top scorer.
And the Patrick Kluivert one? Joint with
Patrick Kluivert, yeah.
Stop. Dennis Bergkamp?
No.
Milan Baros?
No.
That's 2004.
Oh, it was 2004.
Up front with Patrick Kluivert?
No, not with. Not up front
joint
with.
Joint top scorers.
I was thinking it, haven't I?
Do you know the answer?
No, it's because I know the answer. And
stop, Karol Poborski. Stop, Andrei Kanchelskis. Stop, Julian Dix. I'm just naming literally every footballer I can think of.
Similar colours, though, to the last one. Should I do a hand motion?
Nuno Gomez.
No, you can win it, Pete. You can't give
all
it
right,
away.
Cool.
You know.
Who is it?
I'll do the hand motion while I... Right, I know what it is.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean you win the competition, but I'm going to do a hand motion now.
Yeah.
And you might be able to guess.
Totti.
No.
Not really an audio feature, this.
No, not really. Oh, I'm tying something on my head. Tying something on my head. Savo Milosevic.
Ah, oh, Milosevic.
Bloody hell.
Played a Villa on the Brian Little. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. That is a stinker.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. I feel terrible.
All the listeners get it after the first clue, so it doesn't make any difference to them. Better fast forward this bit because I get it so quick.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Let's have an email.
Oh, go on then. All right, lads.
Yep.
Yeah, we are.
I love listening to the discussion on funny shouts at football grounds, so I thought I'd wade in with a couple of classic stories about my old man. That's his dad, not just like an old guy he's
wade away.
Got or found. A few years back, sitting in the City End at a Manchester derby, we were trailing 1-0 and the United fans started pulling out the old "you'll never win football" chant. He's clearly a City fan. My dad decided to respond by standing up and shouting, "That's a double negative. It means we always win everything."
I like that.
Yeah, technically, of course, he was right, but I'm not sure if the heat of the Manchester derby is the environment where grammatical technicalities are most appreciated.
He's a crowd pedant.
Indeed. In a more recent episode, earlier in the season, we went to the Carling Cup tie away at the Emirates. Regardless of the old jokes about the atmosphere at Arsenal not being great, you'd be hard-pushed to say it's not a fantastic stadium, and that night was a complete sellout. And in fact, the atmosphere was buzzing. My dad thought differently. In a random outburst, when the crowd had gone quiet, he decided to shout, "Shit grounds, no fans." Both wrong. And that is from Matt.
I quite like the idea when he said in a recent episode, like he thinks each week's an episode.
Yeah. Of football.
Yeah.
Football should be split into episodes.
Yeah. Cheers, Matt.
Good one.
Hello, I'm Dean Windass, and this is my Hall of Fame.
Now then, it's time for a profile, you lot. And it's Bob Paisley.
Oh, massive.
Isn't he already in?
No.
No.
Oh,
Robert Paisley, he is in the minute.
Well, he might be.
Just you wait.
He could be in.
A proper ledge, this guy, or legend, as normal people say.
Yeah.
He was born on the 23rd of January 1919.
Oh,
tricky one.
48 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah, exactly. The ultimate one club man, without a doubt, and a true legend of the English game, and of course, Liverpool Football Club. Mm. He was from the Sunderland area in the northeast. And he was a player before he went into management. Played for a number of years, playing at Bishop Auckland as an amateur. And he won the Northern League Division with them in 1938-39 season. Some of the big clubs became interested in him, and he went to Liverpool as a 20-year-old left half on May the 8th, 1939.
That makes bloody
it,
war.
That yeah. makes it sound like they only signed half of him.
Yeah, it does, I suppose.
The left half.
Yeah. He missed out on 6 years of his career due to World War II, unfortunately. And but he did come back afterwards and made his debut for Liverpool in 1946. So I forget that he was a player there as well. And for a few years, of course.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, like, you know, you have a long summer off or whatever, and you come back and, like,
you're a bit groggy.
You're a bit groggy, you're a little bit overweight. Can you imagine what 6 years does to you?
Yeah.
I mind you, he got rationing, so you're never going to be overweight.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was at wartime, and so you're on your toes.
He fought in the war, Paisley, as well.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he referenced it reasonably regularly.
I think he was in the...
Fought for Liverpool, so loyal he was.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was out in maybe North Africa in the deserts, maybe.
I'm pretty sure he helped liberate Rome as well.
Did he?
Mm.
Ah. Well, yeah, he was certainly there.
Because he made that famous quote when he, which you'll come on to, he won the European Cup in Rome, and he said, "This is the second time I've conquered Rome."
Oh yeah, nice.
It's last, something like last time I came here, I was on a tank.
Sounds like xenophobic when you say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Men
right,
men.
Dickheads, back again to do you in the arse. Yeah. Wicked.
I've come to take your football.
Oh dear. So yeah, he did play for Liverpool. Mixed time at Liverpool. They did win the league in the late 40s. He wasn't picked for the cup final in 1950, which was the same. He was captain, though, the following season, and got relegated in his final year playing for the club. But Liverpool were the only professional team he played for. He played not far off 300 games for them and quit in his mid-30s. He then trained as a physiotherapist and continued to work in and around the club. And it was in 1959 when Bill Shankly took over at Liverpool. Well, we all know what happened there. Bill Shankly, of course, is in the Hall of Fame, so do check that out.
Well, people who don't sort of necessarily know, Liverpool had become quite a run-down sort of antiquated team and club, but then Shankly really turned them around, didn't he? And set the sort of foundations for everything that followed, really.
Yeah, he established them as a big club, you know, just sort of a serious contender.
Mm. And Paisley was there throughout this.
Yeah, one of the boot room boys. Yeah,
yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, in various different forms. I mean, he kind of went through the ranks in the backroom staff. Did Paisley as assistant trainer, then chief trainer, assistant to Shankly as well. And as you say, Luke, he was one of the legendary boot room boys.
Assistant to the reason why.
Yeah, yeah. Which is where he would have learnt so much about the game. I mean, the Anfield boot room is absolutely legendary.
Yeah.
To be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Boot in a room
peg
shelf.
Yeah, so he would have learnt tactics and man management, absolutely everything went on in there. And then in 1974, a very significant year in the history of Liverpool, Shankly decided that his time managing Liverpool was over.
It's quite out of the blue as well.
It was a little bit out of the blue, and the Reds didn't know what to do, really. They were in shock, as you could imagine, because he was such a living legend there. Yeah. As you said earlier, Luke, he transformed the club completely. So Shankly did say to the board at Liverpool that the only way to make the change over was to promote the rest of his backroom staff. So that meant Liverpool looked to Bob Paisley to take on one of the biggest tasks in the history of English football.
Yeah.
Quite simply, it cannot be understated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were huge back then, weren't they, Liverpool?
Yeah. The chief exec at the time, Peter Robinson, said it was definitely a crisis when Bill left, and Bob Paisley was very reluctant to take the position as manager. We approached him, and he said no. In the end, the chairman, directors, and I had to gang up on him. and Paisley's family also helped in the persuading. And he eventually agreed, and he said of the moment, he said, it's a bit like being given the Queen Elizabeth to steer in a Force 10 gale.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And Paisley was quite a different character to Shankly. Yeah. Shankly was quite bold and loved being in front of the media.
Good the sound bites.
Yeah, exactly. Very quotable chat. Paisley was a little bit more reserved. Yeah. And a bit
Paisley
more
was very dry, though. He's got a few good quotes.
Oh, absolutely, but not in the same way as Shankly, you know.
He seemed a really warm character.
Yeah, well, Shankly, the kind of, you know, the modern day kind of managers you might compare him to would be the Mourinhos and the Fergusons. Yeah. And, do you know what I mean?
The Clough.
Yeah, exactly. But Paisley did know the club inside out and the style of the team's play, and he was excellent at picking out a quality player. He also, a number of people have talked about this, he had an extraordinary ability, probably from his time as a trainer and physio, to be able to diagnose or spot an injury simply by just observing a player, how they were walking and running.
You got a cut there.
Oh wow. Brain hemorrhage. What?
Yeah, extraordinary really. But that of course helped him no end. So Paisley's Liverpool began the 74-75 season, which was to be an incredible time.
Didn't
on
they
his
come
tenure.
Second?
They came second, and it was the only season in his 9 years there that they didn't win a trophy. But Paisley, he did inherit a good side, of course, under Shankly.
The reason I know he came second, yeah. I think it's related to that quip he made where he said, "Oh, don't." Of course, he's been interviewed, and someone talks about all the things he won and everything he achieved there, and he said, "Don't forget, I managed this team in the bad times as well. Yeah. 1 year we came second."
he did indeed say that. He did inherit a good side, as I say, and he carried on the work of Shankly and that philosophy at the club. But he did take Liverpool to a different level.
Yeah, he actually won more than Shankly, didn't he?
He won a hell of a lot more.
Something like 20 trophies in 9 seasons, yeah. Was
but
it?
You got to think, like, it's so easy for the wheels to come off at
that's
that
right,
point.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, of course. Just,
well, ridiculous. It did. You could argue it did for Souness when he took over from Dalglish, was it?
You almost have that sort of flip side of the coin where you have a manager who brings such success to a club like Ferguson has done at United.
Yeah.
And the flip side of the coin is what's going to happen then? What's going to happen at the end?
Yeah.
They've almost made a rod for their own back because they've got to replace them. Mm. You know, and they've managed to do that successfully with Paisley. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And he always said as well, because we said earlier, you know, he wasn't one for going up in front of the media, but he always his little line was, "I let my team do the talking." So they did finish second, and they didn't win anything in the 74-75 season. But the next season, they won the league and they won the UEFA Cup, his first European trophy. Keegan and Toshack were amongst the goals that season as they climbed to the top of the English game once again. And he made some great signings for Liverpool: Terry McDermott, Graham Souness, Alan Hansen, and most importantly, Kenny Dalglish, who he got in to replace Kevin Keegan. Mm. Very big shoes to fill. Mm. And my goodness, did he fill
funny shoes to fill.
Yeah,
but it was.
Although I shouldn't disrespect him, like, I
come on,
gets laid into in so many profiles.
What a player,
even his own.
Yeah, what a player he was, though.
No,
but Dalglish did more than fill his shoes, didn't he? Dalglish is probably their best
King Kenny,
and that never at any point did he get punched in the lay by.
That's enough.
Yeah. Never enough.
So that era of dominance, it really defined who they were, who Liverpool were and are.
The moustache. Well, yeah, Liverpool with the moustache.
Liverpool Football Club, perhaps I should restrict that to. But they were by far the club's best years. And when we hear and see the old footage of that of the Liverpool teams, great Liverpool teams, we all know them, of the late 70s, mid-70s, early 80s, they were his teams.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah,
were Paisley's yeah. teams.
Well, it's an interesting one because you've got to think of Bob Paisley when people start talking about the greatest managers of all time.
Yeah.
Bob Paisley is pretty underrepresented in those sort of conversations.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And Bob, the fact of the matter is, as you mentioned, Jim, 20-odd trophies in 9 years or whatever it was, he's the only manager in history to win 3 European Cups.
Yeah. That's right.
As a manager.
I mean, that could change this summer, but
no one's done that, though. No one's done that. He's the only manager to have ever done it. As a manager. People have done it as player and manager, but solely as manager, he's the only person ever done it. And he deserves an immense amount of credit for that.
Yeah. Mm. So what Jim says, it is huge. It's Emlyn huge.
Oh, he was a player under him as well, yeah.
That was my point.
That's the point, it works.
Yeah.
We've seen how difficult it is, you know. The Champions League has never been retained, you know, and it's clear how difficult it is and how much it takes out of you to do a sort of season-long campaign in Europe. It's a huge undertaking. So to have his team so sort of motivated and capable that they could win so much so regularly is a real testament
to his ability.
And I imagine there was, as travel went, I imagine it wasn't chartered flights everywhere. It'd be trains and buses and stuff.
They would have been working hard, those guys.
Well, they won the first European Cup in 1977 and they won it three times in a 5 year
in 81, was it?
That's right, yeah. Three times in a 5 year period they won the European Cup. Incredible. Really was. He was also an excellent man manager, a very likeable guy, and he got the best out of everybody pretty much. One particular player who was reborn under him really was Ray Kennedy, who's a striker from Arsenal, and obviously played for Liverpool as well up front, but he turned him into a midfielder with some aplomb, you know.
Mm. Well, Alan Smith.
Alan Smith.
Well, he moved from up front to midfield under Ferguson, didn't he?
Into the bench. Yeah, did just forevermore.
Now to MK Dons.
Yeah.
How has he got in this?
I've broken him. Mark is gutted that I've brought him up.
Oh dear. Back to Paisley immediately.
He just went, Alan Smith.
He's not sneaking in the back door while we're doing Paisley, while we're putting him in.
It's not even the good Alan Smith.
No, no, yeah.
Paisley was also said to be a nice, caring man.
Like Alan Smith.
No, not like Alan Bloody Smith.
Got sent off
Alan
for
England. Smith, welcome in.
Don't make
in
me say
come,
naughty
smudger.
Words. Anyway, now
see what you've done.
Careful. Whoa. I'll say that word. Now, it was a good guy as well, which wasn't the norm and probably still isn't for football managers to beat nice guys. And Brian Clough even said that Paisley proves that nice guys, you know, can win something, and that cliche is just a myth, you know. Mm. He turned Anfield into a fortress. At its most impenetrable was between 1978 and 81, when the team had a run of 85 games unbeaten at home.
Well, if the team can't get in, that you're playing them.
Yeah, it's impenetrable.
Yeah. Big advocate of the pass and move ethos, which was at the heart of Liverpool's success. Mm. And then he retired in 1983. Only 9 years, or 9 seasons. Won, you know, as you say, 20 trophies.
That's a lot of seasons.
Yeah.
Really,
I say only. Yeah, he's at the same club, you know.
There's only a handful of managers operating now who've been at clubs longer than that in this country.
Mm. This football, probably Moyes, Wenger and Ferguson.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as I say, retired in 1983, and he'd been with Liverpool in some form or another for 44 years.
He'd had enough of Matt Lawrence's bloody voice, eh, mate?
2 years after his retirement, he did return to Anfield after the Heysel tragedy as a consultant to Kenny Dalglish, who had not long been in charge of the club, and then went on to join the board and eventually a vice president of the club. And he served the club until he died in 1996. But before he did die, he was given the freedom of the City of Liverpool and an OBE for his services to football.
I think he was at the club for about 45 years or something in total. A very long time.
Anyway. Yeah, well, it was more than that, yeah.
Right, okay.
But one of the greatest managers in British and European football.
One of the greatest managers of all time.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
End of story. No doubt about it.
I thought I quite liked it. I'll end with Ivan Ponting of the Independence. The way he summed up Paisley, his managerial reign, in his obituary. He said, as he had promised so self-effacingly, Bob Paisley had done his best, and it turned out to be better than anybody else's.
Oh, that was
Bob Paisley, come on in to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
In you come, Bob.
And he comes
in. Can I come in as well? Get away, Alan.
Milton Keynes is that one.
What is he like?
Right, that is the end of the show.
Tis.
All right, and if you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Jim Bowe.
Yes, it is. There's all kinds of wonderful booty on there. If you are a sort of internet pirate, so go over there. Look at the wonderful blogs we have. You're right there, Luke. You seem to have your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're thinking about expanding the blog section. Get as much more writing, as good quality writing as possible. So if you're interested, send your details and sort of examples of your work and links and stuff to show@thefootballramble.com, and hopefully we can get you on board.
Mm. Yeah, so also there is Pick Live, you know, you can play live fantasy football. There is the Hall of Fame, there is the forum, all kinds of lovely stuff. So do get over there, thefootballramble.com.
Pete, have you got anything?
Somebody call my mama. Somebody call my mama. Somebody call my mama. But end this.
Somebody call his mother. Now, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
See you next week, Bimfers.
Bimfers.
There's no need to ask any questions about transfers or speculation or anything else, because there'll be nothing happening.
Anything about a young goalkeeper from Wrexham?
Huh? That's the academy, so that would be the only one.
Marcus, never do that again.
No.
Because that isn't... Right.
What did I do?
You look like you're driving in a car, not making love to a girl.
I was driving in a car.
How you do it.
I've taken him home from the gig.
He's driving to the girl he's going to make love to.
Oh, okay, right.
And he's just singing to himself.
And the sun's coming
up,
so I'm going to... It's got to be post-haste.
Where the sun
She's got to be an understanding woman if that's the sort of booty
you can use. Sperms do die at 6 a.m.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.